We'll be reading John chapter 14, verses 15 through 20. If you'll read with me, please. If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye also shall live. And that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. You may be seated. Let's take a moment and go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to your word with humble hearts. We confess that without the work of your Holy Spirit, we cannot understand spiritual truth, nor can we live it out. So we ask you now to illuminate our minds and soften our hearts and strengthen our wills. Exalt the Lord Jesus Christ before us. Teach us what it means to love him, to obey him, and to live in the power of his indwelling spirit. We ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen. I always like this time of year around Christmas because it reminds me, I think it gives me personally just a little glimpse of what heaven may be like, because we act like we should all year round. And so it's just really exciting to me. I am one of those folks. I'm a giver. I don't really like to receive presents, but I like to give and I like to help and Secret Santa in my own way. And I think I've hit a milestone here in my personal life. I actually forgot some Christmas gifts and actually forgot to wrap them and actually forgot what they even were. So not something that I'm real proud about, but it just kind of where I'm at with what was going on. So John, Jesus is in here in his final week. Judas has already gone away to start what was in motion to betray Jesus Christ. Peter has been chastised, and now Jesus is telling them, I'm leaving. But you will not be alone. Few words strike the human heart more deeply than the words, you are not alone. We live in a world that is more connected than ever. You know, if you think about this, here in Missouri, we are home to one of the greatest achievements ever for its short-lived time was the Pony Express up in St. Joe, Missouri. And so they would hire young orphan boys that were good riders, and they would give them a letter, and then they would relay that mail. That information would go to Sacramento and back. And of course, it didn't last very long with the advent of the telegraph, and then you could send messages very, very quickly. In my generation, and some of you remember first-class mail. You know, mail was a big deal. You'd go out and get to lick the stamps, and I don't know if you all remember that nasty taste on the back of it. Some of you may have never even licked a stamp in your life. Most of them now are self-adhering, and you didn't have the joy of standing there next to your mom or your grandmother. Put your tongue out, and she would run all these stamps on these envelopes and get it all out. Now, take that out to the mailbox, you know. And my grandparents lived out on a rural route, and great big country mailbox, and the guy drove an old Jeep, and I always thought it was cool. He had an LTD, excuse me, and he was so cool because he got to drive in the middle of the car. He steered it with his left hand, and he chucked mail in this other hand. And then email came. And it was really cool. And now we are inundated with emails constantly. Some of us get hundreds of emails a day. Most of it's junk. People send letters overseas, and the military mail call was a great thing. You know, it was a connection to home. And what's really funny is in World War II, it took 10 days to send a letter across the pond and deliver to the troops in Europe. 2003 to 2020, it took 10 days to mail a letter across the pond to Iraq and Afghanistan. But with all this connection and satellites and mail and phones that we can communicate instantly, loneliness has never been at a higher point. We carry phones that can reach anyone in seconds, but many people feel like no one truly knows them. About 15 years ago or so, do y'all remember when Nextel was a big deal and you could have a little walkie-talkie phone and you could talk to anybody in the world as long as you decide, if you could only do it half the conversation at a time. I love you. Click. I love you too. Click. We scroll endlessly, message constantly, and still lie awake at night feeling unseen. And there are times that the believers feel this way as well. You can sit in a crowded church pew and still feel lonely. You can be faithful, praying, serving, and still wonder, Lord, where are you? This is the exact emotional context of John 14. Jesus has just announced that he is leaving. Judas has gone into the night. Peter has been warned of his denial. The disciples are confused, anxious, and afraid. Their spiritual world feels like it is collapsing. And into that fear, Jesus does not offer shallow reassurance. He offers the deepest promise he could possibly give. He tells them, I am going away, but you will not be alone. Not because the circumstances are going to improve, not because life is going to get any easier, but because God himself will live inside them. So the big picture idea here is because Jesus has given us the Holy Spirit, we as believers are never abandoned, we are never powerless, and never alone. Let me tell you what that feels like in real time. When you're living day by day, never knowing what day is going to be your last. You're dealing with insurgent fighters. You're dealing with snipers. You're dealing with roadside bombs. You're dealing with IEDs. You have all of this that is looming over you, and yet inside of you, you are at peace. Because you know that if God is going to call you home in this particular day, that you're going to spend the rest of your life in glory with Jesus Christ. As Christians, we are to love Christ by obeying his word and live daily in the dependence on the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Christ's love is obeying his word and living in daily dependence of the Holy Spirit. This is the theme of John. Love and obedience. In verse 15, Jesus begins not with comfort, but with clarity. He does not say, if you feel emotional toward me, if you speak warmly about me, if you sing loudly about me, he says, if you love me, you keep my commandments. Jesus has defined love as obedience, by obedience, not perfection, but direction. This is not legalism, it is a relationship. I have been to many weddings just like you have. I have actually done a wedding. Couples, at that moment, they look deeply into each other's eyes and they promise eternal love. But real love isn't proven on the wedding day. It's proven when the trash needs to be taken out again in the rain. Love is not what you say. It is what you do when obedience costs you something. If someone says, I love Jesus, but ignores his words, Jesus lovingly says, I think we need to talk about that. We all know what the definition of a hypocrite is. Professing to do one thing, say one thing, or believe in one thing, and yet doing absolutely the opposite. In our faith and our Christianity are tested every single day. Now, last week, Laura and I, we had left here, and we were simply driving home. And of course, driving can stimulate people in every way. There's people that drive many different ways. Now, I prefer to drive in my lane, and I don't like anybody to drive in my lane with me at the same time. It kind of defies a law of physics. Two things can't occupy the same spot. So on our way home, a gentleman in a pickup truck tried to occupy the same space than what I was in, so I just kind of give the old horn a little honk and just to remind him that I was there. For whatever reason, that flipped a switch, and he began to tailgate and began to show me, and he could only count to one, and I'll just leave it at that. He had a dog that was licking his face, and it was just, I mean, just, he was just absolutely wroth. What did he love? Now, I don't know for a fact one way or the other. I would hope that your faith is tested. We should shine the light that Jesus Christ has in us outward. Dan talked about on Christmas Eve about joy, that we derive our joy from Jesus Christ. We get that joy from Jesus Christ. That light that we have needs to shine outward. We need to have joy, not rage. So I need you to ask yourself, is your obedience selective? Do you choose to follow Christ only when it's convenient? Is there an area of your life where love has stopped short of obedience? Verse 16, Jesus responds to obedient love with divine provision. The gift comes from the Father. The Son has asked, the Father gives, and the Spirit comes. Your salvation is the work of the Trinity. The word another comforter means another of the same kind. The Spirit is not a downgrade from Jesus. He is Jesus' continuing presence. The Greek word for comforter is parakletos, which means one who advocates before a judge. So you have the Spirit of God, which is advocating for you. He is a helper, he is a counselor, and he is a strengthener. For many of you, when you have young children and they're afraid at night, they don't ask for explanations, they ask for a presence. They don't need answers, they need somebody in the room with them. Jesus says, I am leaving, but I am sending someone who will never leave the room. You are not spiritually self-supported, you are a spirit-supported. So stop living like you have to face life alone. I'm sure most of you have experienced what alone means. Sometimes when you are alone, there is fear that is coupled with that. Now, there was a time when I was really afraid. We were convoying out, and we were headed west, means that we were headed toward the very tip of our western Iraq. And about halfway through this trip, we lost all of our communications, we lost all of our satellite link up, we lost all of our map, we lost everything. It's at night, there's no Love's truck stop to pull over, you don't dare stop, and you keep going. So we slowed our roll and kept going. So finally, about, I don't know, an hour into this trip, everything finally came back on and everything linked up, everything synced, and everything reset. And the navigator goes, we need to turn around. And I said, why? What's up? And he goes, we're 10 miles into Syria. Completely disconnected. We were literally alone. We are never alone with the Holy Spirit. The first part of verse 17, the Spirit is not discovered through education or morality. He is received through the regeneration that we experience when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. The world is spiritually blind, but not intellectually inferior. So the Holy Spirit, trying to explain the Holy Spirit is like explaining Wi-Fi to someone who refuses to turn on their device. The signal is there, but without the right connection, nothing happens. I recently installed a Ring doorbell camera. So if those of you that are not familiar with that, the Ring doorbell, if you just wire it up, it will literally ring the doorbell. And that's all that it will do. But you have to use the Wi-Fi if you want to use the camera portion of that Ring doorbell. And most people buy the Ring doorbell because they want to see who's on the other side of the door. And so I had to try to communicate the fact, in order for this part to work, that you needed to do this. And after about an hour, I wasn't any closer other than, well, your doorbell works. So don't be surprised when unbelievers don't understand spiritual truth. Instead, pray for their hearts to be opened by the Spirit. For this, it cuts me pretty deep. And I'm sure for all of you as well, is because I'm sure that you all have family and dear friends that are in your life that do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And as much as you try to explain Jesus and what he can do for you, that he lived and he died for you and for your sins, and he is the only path in heaven, to heaven, you feel like there's just this big disconnect. Pray for them. Pray for them. The second half of verse 17, Jesus says, with you. This is Old Testament experience, and in you is the new covenant reality. Did you catch that? In the Old Testament, it was with you, but in the New Testament, it is in you. This is an indwelling, not a visitation. The Holy Spirit doesn't treat your house like an Airbnb. Well, I'm going to set up in here for a week, and then when everything, you know, I'm done, I'm going to move on. No. When you accept Jesus Christ, and the moment you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he indwells in you, and he is there. Some people treat the Holy Spirit like a weekend guest, invited occasionally, ignored frequently, and sent home quickly. Jesus says, I'm moving in permanently. Are you today conscious of the Spirit's presence in your daily life? Or are you living like he's just passing through? I've been on both sides of this. It is much better, far better, to know that the Holy Spirit is with you in your daily life instead of a fleeting thought. Verse 18, Jesus says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Comfortless means orphans. Jesus says, I will not abandon you. See, and for an orphan, they fear about being forgotten, being left behind. Jesus says, you will never be forgotten. So when you feel alone, preach this verse to your soul. Your feelings will lie to you, but Christ never does. Verse 19, because I live, ye shall live also. Christ's life is resurrection-powered, not self-powered. Trying to live the Christian life without Christ's life is like trying to drive your car without an engine. You can push it, but it won't go far. So stop relying on willpower and start relying on the resurrection power. Now, willpower, we talk about willpower, and we're getting close to that time of year where people will sit down and they will make their resolutions. They will sit down, well, I'm gonna lose weight, and I am gonna go to the gym, and I'm gonna do X, Y, and Z. And that lasts for a while until the willpower fades away, till the drive fades away. Most people, you'll go, if you look at now, if you've been to, a gym, that's always the top one. I'm going to get in better shape and lose weight. If you look at it now, the December gym is virtually wide open. Now you go to the gym on January, and that thing will be packed until about February. And then it'll start tapering off, and about May, it'll look like what it did in December of the last year. We, as individuals, cannot be good enough. We are not smart enough. We cannot give enough. There is nothing that we can do on our own to satisfy the sin debt. There is nothing that we can do on our own to get into heaven. We absolutely need Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. Verse 20, I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. This is the union with Christ. Christ is the Father, believers in Christ, and Christ in the believers. The branch does not produce the fruit, it stays connected to the vine. Nobody's ever went out to their garden and seen a tomato just floating out there. That tomato grows because it is connected to the vine that's on the branch, it's on the plant, down to the roots and the soil and the whole pit, a big, big pot. Let me clarify that. I said last summer that we had a pot garden, and it's not pot, it is just buckets. It should be a 5-gallon bucket garden is what we had. So, but you have to grow everything in the bucket. The plant has to stay intact for the fruit to grow. We have to stay connected to Jesus Christ. If we are not connected to him, we will not grow. Your Christian life flows from the connection. Your Christian life flows from the connection, not performance. Jesus does not promise the absence of trouble. He promises the presence of God. We are not abandoned. We are not powerless. And we are not alone. So if you are here today and you are a believer in Jesus Christ, meaning you have accepted Jesus Christ, you have asked him to come into your heart, asked him to forgive you of your sins, and you have pledged that you are going to follow him, I'm asking you to examine your love. Does your love obey? I'm asking you to examine your walk. Does it depend on the Spirit? But if you are here today and you are not a believer, I want you to know that Christ died for your sin. Christ rose in victory. And Christ offers forgiveness and new life. And God himself will dwell deeply within you. If you are here today and you have not accepted Jesus Christ, I'm asking you to repent and believe and receive eternal life. The Bible is very clear. We are not promised tomorrow. Today could be it for us. Tomorrow could be the day that Jesus comes back. Here in just a few minutes, we are going to celebrate the Lord's Supper. And during that time, if you want to come up and talk to Dan and I about your relationship with Jesus Christ, then we are going to encourage you to do that. This time at the Lord's table is going to be a time to reflect on your walk. It's going to be a time to reflect on your love. It's going to be a time to ask for forgiveness. Use this time that we have at the Lord's table wisely.